Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Glad that you're here. Glad you're watching from home if you are this morning. Hear and receive God's word this morning. This is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Hear and receive the word of the Lord. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning that you're up to something, that what you're up to, you've been up to since before the creation of the world. So Lord, every person here, all of us need to know how much you love us. We need to know how much we matter to you. We need to know that you have a plan and a purpose for us, that you chose us long, 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 long before we were even born. Lord, move and work in every person here. Jesus, we ask if there's any doubt of how much you love us, that you would just cast the doubt of Satan out of this place. God, we pray this morning that there are those who are really just struggling to really know how important they are to you. God, that this would be the morning that you truly show us and show them who you are and who they are in relationship with you. Come, Lord Jesus, have your way with us today. In your name we pray. Amen. So last week, Janie was gone out of town, and so I had to go full-fledged grocery shopping for college night. Now, Janie and I shop a lot together at the grocery store, so Costco and Sam's and United and HEB. I mean, we shop together, but I had to go shopping by myself, and I chose to go shopping for just a few items at the Walmart out on the South Loop. Now, when I got there, I soon realized that all the aisle signs, that they did not match the aisle products. So when I got there, you know, and I'm looking for plates and cups, I went down the aisle and labeled plates and cups, and I found peanut butter. And where I needed baking powder, I found Cokes and Dr. Peppers. And when I needed salad dressing, I found chips and dip. Man, there was just a total and major disconnect between where everything was supposed to be, right, on the signs, and where everything actually was down the aisles. And because of that disconnect, there was no way for someone like me who doesn't know how to shop, there was no way for someone like me to find exactly what I needed. I eventually found some Walmart employees, and they explained to me that they were redoing their inventory and signage, all right? And they helped me find every single product that I needed. Thank you. This morning, we're going to spend some time talking about the major disconnect between who God has created us to be and who we're actually living to be. We're going to spend a little time talking about the major disconnect between his call upon our lives and the reality of how that's being fleshed out in our lives. We're going to take an in-depth look at who God is and who we are called to be. So please notice in Ephesians 1 verse 4 that the plan that God has for us was made even before the foundation of the world. Please notice that God's plan for us is not accidental but intentional. His plan for us is not incidental but central. His plan for us is not marginal out on the, you know, the extremes, but foundational to who he is and who he desires us to be. So this morning, I want to affirm to you that our God has a mission. Our God is a missionary God. So first, we need to see this morning that our God is a missionary God who comes seeking humanity. He comes seeking relationship with you and me, with all of us. I remember in the creation, in the garden, Adam and Eve chose to go their way instead of God's way, and they realized when they ate the fruit that they were naked, and all of a sudden, you know, before they were naked and ashamed, now they're naked and ashamed, and so they go and hide themselves and make fig leaves. They're hiding. And then God comes searching. Adam, Eve, where are you? Remember how God came searching when humanity in the days of Noah, everybody had turned to their own way. They were only evil all the time. And God came searching for Noah so that Noah could build that little boat that would allow for the salvation of all of humanity. Remember how God came seeking Moses to go back to the enslaved people, his people down in Egypt, and to set the people free. God came seeking Moses. Remember how God came seeking a little boy named David to go defeat that great giant Goliath. God is the seeker. God is the initiator. When Jesus comes, everything about Jesus' ministry was about Jesus coming to us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And remember when Jesus came into Jericho and he finds Zacchaeus up in the tree. Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. And he tells Zacchaeus, Luke 19:10, that the Son of Man, Jesus says, I have come to seek and to save the lost. Christianity, in its essence, is all about a God who comes seeking us. All about a God who comes to find us. All, you know, this is God over here. This is humanity over here. And all the religions of the world tell us how we can get from here to there. How humanity can get to God. So, you know, Islam has the fivefold path. And Buddhism has, Islam has the five pillars. Buddhism has the eightfold path. Hinduism has nirvana, you know, nothingness. But only in Christianity do we have a God who comes all the way to us. A God who comes seeking after us. You remember that when God comes to us, He comes to save us. He comes to love us. He comes to heal us. He comes to forgive us. He comes to restore us. So I don't know what you need this morning, but I know He's still in the business of coming from where He is to where you are. We remember the story that Jesus told in Luke 15, and the story of that prodigal son and that loving father. And the prodigal son gets all of his inheritance, and then he leaves his dad. He gets as far away from his dad as he can. And the Bible says he squanders his money in loose living. He party, when you party hardy, right? And he gets as far away from his dad. He's doing his own thing. And man, his life just literally, it falls apart. I mean, he's hungry, he's despairing, he's lonely. This young Jewish boy takes a job. He's so desperate, he takes a job feeding pigs, right? He's eating the food that the pigs are eating. And he remembers his daddy and he heads home. And Jesus says, the father had never stopped looking for his son. And Jesus says that when the son was still a long way off, the father saw the son. And remember, this never-stop-searching father, he leaves his little mansion or his cabin or his farmhouse, and he sprints to where that son is, and he throws his arms around him. See, that's the kind of God that we have, a God who comes to us wherever we are. A God who seeks us out in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of our need. I love the imagery of that old father sprinting down that road, throwing his arms around his pig-stunk, torn, and tattered son. Y'all, this morning, I don't know where you are, but God wants to throw his arms around you. I don't know what your need is. I don't know what your brokenness is. I don't know what your darkness is. But I know who He is. He is a God who comes seeking you. Secondly, I want to affirm to you this morning that our missionary God is the God who loves us. He is the only one and only God who truly loves you. It was God who chose you, who chose me before the very foundation of the world. It was God who initiated relationship with us. It was God who pursued us before we even thought about Him. It was God who chose us and loved us even before we were born. God's love for us, y'all, is not just a New Testament thing. It's a story of God thing. I love Nehemiah 9:17. If you've never read it, here it is. It says, they refused to obey, sounds like a lot of us, and they were not mindful of the wonders that you performed among them, sounds a lot like a lot of us, but they stiffened their neck. They resisted God and appointed a leader to return them back to the slavery in Egypt. Can you imagine? They've been set free from captivity. It's like, we don't like this. We'd rather go back. But you, oh God, are a God ready to forgive, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast, never going to stop love. And you did not forsake them, and He will not forsake you. Isaiah 43:1, but now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, He who made you in His image, O St. Luke's, right? Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. I love you. Don't miss it. He loves you. 1 John 4:7-8, God's word here is clear. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and he that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. God's word says not just that God is loving, but that God is love. Because God is love, we know that he created you and me for a loving relationship with him. God is love, no matter what our circumstance. God is love, no matter whatever selfish or stupid thing that I may have done or you may have done. God is love, no matter how much we resist him. God is love, no matter what we do or don't feel from him. God is love. One day, the famous English pastor C.H. Spurgeon was visiting a local farmer. And as they strode through the field, Spurgeon noticed a barn. And the barn had a weather vane on its roof. And at the top of the weather vane were the words written in all caps, God is love. Spurgeon remarked to his farmer friend that he thought that this was an inappropriate place for such a message. You know, Spurgeon in his preacher voice, he said, weather vanes are changeable and God is constant, right? Something like that. But no, said the farmer. That's not what I mean. What I mean, my meaning is that God is love no matter which way the wind is blowing. East, south, north, west, it doesn't matter. And by the way, we know in West Texas, y'all, that the wind is always blowing, isn't it? And not just out there in the environment, but in our lives, in the stuff going on in our family, in the stuff going on in our workplace, in the stuff going on in the most important relationships of our lives. The wind never stops blowing. But one thing I know for sure, that no matter, you know, which way the wind is blowing, that God will never leave us. God will never forsake us. He loves you. Romans 5:8 says that God proves his love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. So his love is not just love, it's unconditional. And his love is not just unconditional, it's sacrificial. That's the way God loves you, unconditionally, no matter what. Sacrificially, he gave it all for you. God is love, right? And God is present. You know what that means? A, God is love. B, God is present. He's Jehovah Shema. A, God is love. B, God is present. And guess what? C is. He's here. Love is here. The love of God to restore you. The love of God to forgive you. The love of God to transform you. The love of God to heal you. His love. Love is here in this house this morning. Will you let His love be made real to you, even right now? Thirdly, I want to affirm to you that our missionary God is the God who gives. We all know John 3, 16 and 17. Can y'all read it with me? It's on the screen. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. We know that. For God so loved the world that He gave. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that for our sake, He made Him who knew no sin to become sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus gave up His deity. Jesus gave up heaven. Jesus gave up, you know, that intimacy that He had with the Father. Jesus gave up His life. Jesus gave up His absolute pure and spotless righteousness. Jesus became our sin so that we might become His righteousness. He paid, He gave the ultimate price because He believes you are of ultimate worth. When a 67-year-old carpenter named Russell Herman died in 1994, his will included this staggering set of bequests. Included in his inheritance plan was more than $2 billion for the city of East St. Louis, another $1.5 billion for the state of Illinois, $2.5 billion for the National Forest System. And to top off the list, Herman left $6 trillion to the government, the U.S. government, to help the U.S. pay off its national debt. Isn't that awesome? That sounds amazing. Incredible generosity. But there was just one small problem. Herman's only asset when he died was a 1983 Oldsmobile. He made these grand promises, but there was no real capacity to give like that. His promises were meaningless because there was nothing to back them up. The opposite is true for Jesus. Every single thing that He gave mattered. Every single thing that Jesus gave was backed up by the Father Himself. Jesus gave His life so that we might have life. Jesus gave His blood so that we might be saved. Jesus gave His all so that we might be set free to be His sons and His daughters. My friends, Jesus has freely and fully given Himself. Have we freely and fully received Him into our lives? We have a God who's seeking us, a God who loves us, a God who has given Himself and has given His Holy Spirit to us. Our God is a missionary God. And because that missionary God, that God on mission now lives in you and me, we are His missionary people. We are His missionary people who are called to have His heart that seeks and His heart that loves and His heart that gives. So first, we are His missionary people, or as His missionary people, we are called to seek and to save the lost. Like Him, the missionary God, is now living in us, then we, His missionary people, are living and loving like Him. So first, we are called to seek and to save the lost. John 20:21, Jesus said to them again, this is one of the first appearances of Jesus, resurrection appearances of Jesus. He says, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, now I am sending you." Now get that. Just like God sent Jesus, now Jesus is sending you and me. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be, right? Not might be, ought to be, could be, should be. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. The Greek is ta ethne. It means go make disciples of all people. You see, you can't stay where you are and follow Jesus at the same time. You can't just warm a pew and think that's good enough. Jesus never called the people to go sit in the church, but he did call the church to go to the people. Isaiah 6:8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who should I send, or who will go for us? And I said, here I am, Lord. Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. Is your hand up this morning? Are you waving your hand going, here I am, Lord, pick me, pick me. Here I am, Lord, send me. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Me, Lord, me, Lord, me, Lord. Where's your hand? Where's your heart? One of the biggest, I guess, experiences of my life was when our son Josh was a little boy. We were living in Chillicothe, Texas, now look, in Chillicothe, we had this youth group. Now, the basic premise of the youth group was if you feed them, they will come, and they did. But our church was like, our average age of our church was 77 years old, average. Our choir director, Claude Brock, he was 91. Andy, he was 91 years old. He was good, you know. We're doing this youth ministry thing, and we're all in the fellowship hall. We're eating. We're playing games. And our son, Josh, he was just a little under 1 year old. He just started walking. And that changed everything. Instead of scooting, man, he was gone. And all of a sudden, we're doing all this stuff. He's in a back room playing, and I realize it's completely silent. And so, okay, that's not a good thing. So I go back and look, he's not there. I said, well, he couldn't have gone far because there's this 6-foot drop off of stairs. He would have, you know, he would have fallen, you know. And so I go out the back and he's not there. And so I start walking over to the parsonage right next door, thinking that's where he is. And as I'm walking over there, I remember there'd been a child napping on Highway 287 down by Wichita Falls. So now I'm not walking, I'm running. And I'm yelling his name, Joshua, Joshua, where are you? Joshua, Joshua, this is Dad, where are you? And I go and look in the carport, and he's not there. And I go inside, look in the kitchen, in the living room, in his bedroom, he's not there. And I go across the street, and I'm not walking, I'm running. Joshua, Joshua, and our friends had this storm cellar. So I go down and I look in the storm cellar, he's not there. Joshua, Joshua, I run around the church and up the handicap ramp. And Joshua, Joshua, the more I look, the more frantic I feel. Joshua, Joshua, where are you? And I go inside, and I'm going to get the kids to come help me look for him. I go inside, and there's Josh. He's sitting in two junior high girls' lap, and they're going, patty cake, baker's man, you know. And literally, I jerk him away from the girls, and I know I about squeeze the life out of him. And I'm just holding him, and in my mind, in my heart, just the words of the Lord, Andy, as desperate as you were to find your son, that is how desperate I am to find you. You see, y'all, we have a God who wants to find us. But that God lives in us now. And so we have to be desperate, desperate to seek, to find, to reach, to save those who are lost. And so I just ask you this morning, are you? Do you give a rip about the 200,000 plus people who aren't worshiping Jesus in our city? Do you even care about the people, your neighbors, your people you work with, your people in your own family who are just living, you know, I mean, maybe with an idea of God, but not a relationship with Him? Here's an old poem. It goes like this. You lived next door to me for years. We shared our dreams, our joys, our tears. A friend to me, you were indeed. A friend who helped me when in need. My faith in you was strong and sure. We had such trust as should endure. No spats between us ever rose. Our friends were like and so are foes. What sadness then, my friend, to find that after all you weren't so kind. The day my life on earth did end, I found you weren't a faithful friend. For all those years we spent on earth, you never talked of second birth. You never spoke of my lost soul and of the Christ who'd make me whole. I pleaded today from hell's cruel fire and tell you now my least desire. You cannot do a thing for me, no words today, my bonds will free. But do not err, my friend, again. Do all you can for the souls of men. Plead with them quite now, quite earnestly, lest they be cast in hell with me. And I go, hey, I can hear y'all. Andy, come on, man. Everybody in West Texas believes in Jesus, right? James 2:19 says, you believe that there is one God. Good. Good for you. Even the demons believe that. And they shudder. They even have an emotional response to the truth that they understand and know. Real belief in Jesus, real belief always leads to real transformation. We see people all around us claim the name of Jesus, but they don't know him. We see people all around us claim his name, but they don't love him. We see people all around us claim his name, but not follow him. Y'all remember the third commandment in the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, when I was growing up, that verse was all about not cussing, right? And it is that. But it's also about claiming the name of God without that name making any real difference in our lives. That's exactly what a nominal Christian is. Someone who claims the name of Jesus, but not the life and the love and the presence of Jesus. We are called to seek and to save the lost. We're called to really care about those that don't know Jesus. We're called to really care that if people don't know Jesus, then people don't go to heaven. And we're not just called to seek the lost. We, as his missionary people, are called to love this world, even as Jesus has loved us. John 13, verse 34 and 35. This is the very last night that Jesus is on planet Earth. This is his focus as he's spending his last minutes, last hours with his disciples. He says, a new commandment I give you, that you are to love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. We are to love this world like Jesus has loved us, right? Unconditionally, sacrificially. No matter which way that proverbial wind is blowing in the struggles of our life, we are to love others like Jesus has loved us. We don't just love people who are like us. We love all people. We don't just love people who like us. We love our enemies and we pray for those who persecute us. We don't just love people theoretically. We love them with our actions. We don't love people from a distance. We love people up close and personal through real engagement, through the real and practical meeting of their needs. Y'all, it's hard to love the world like that when, you know, I don't know if you're watching, you know, one of our news channels 24/7. What we were talking in our men's group, and one of the guys just said, man, this just makes me so mad. I said, you know, we just really need to love. He said, I just want to kill them, right? And by the way, why not? Because that's what the world is preaching us. It's preaching us this hatred toward each other. But we have a missionary God that's living inside of us. And so his love becomes the most formative and transformative reality of our lives. There's a crisis of loneliness, a crisis of divisiveness, a crisis of violence and hatred in our world today. And yes, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Love that can only come through us and from us as we let His love be real in us. Here's a pic of some of the kids, right? This is, I don't know what you were doing last Sunday, but I know what they were doing. It was 104, and they were out mowing grass and pulling weeds and tangibly loving people in the name of Jesus. I think that's how you change the world. One act of love over and over and over again until the world really begins to see that who we are on the inside is because of who God is in us on the inside. I'm sorry, who we are on the outside is because of who God is in us on the inside. Finally, this morning, we, God's missionary people, are called to give like Jesus gave. There's an old story about a small church down in South Louisiana. Y'all know, now remember now, Janie and I lived in Louisiana 15 years, so not nearly as long as you guys, but okay, all right. So we're down there in Louisiana, so there's this old story talking about this church that came to the final day of their building campaign. Now, on the final day of their campaign, they had to raise $50,000 in just one day. $50,000 to complete the project. The old pastor who surrendered to preach, he was an electrician before he surrendered to preach. He couldn't sleep at night at all that night, not a wink. And so he went over to the church to do a little work. The next morning, the sun came up. The next morning, the people came to church. And then the preacher got up, and he made the invitation. By the way, this is a Methodist church. And so he had a pulpit like this. And so he stepped behind the pulpit, and he said, "How many of you out there would like to give $100 to finish the building project?" You know, and so these are Methodists. Nobody's moving. And so he flipped a switch, and there were 18 people on the front left. They jumped up to give $100. "How many of you would like to give $250? And again, nobody's moving. He flipped a switch, and there were 16 people on the front right that jumped up. You know, "Now, how many of you would like to give $500. Now, these folks are smart, and they're starting to hook arms and lock legs. "And how many would like to give $500 to complete the building project?" And he flipped a switch, and there were 42, because there were more in the back than in the front. There were 42 Methodists that said, "Yes, we'll give $500. And he said, "How many of you would like to give $1,000? White knuckles, sweat bearing down, nobody's moving. He flipped a switch, and the Picayune Times in New Orleans said that there were 46 Methodists that suffered electrical burns at their church on Sunday morning. In Thibodeau, I think it, I don't know. Anyway, I don't know, y'all know, that story's not true. But what is a true story is that this church, St. Luke's Methodist Church, is one of the most giving churches on this planet. And this morning, God is not asking you to give your pocketbook, but your heart to Him. He's not asking you to give your money, but to give yourself to His mission of loving and giving and seeking out those who need to know Him. To give yourself to His mission of reaching, growing, and sending forth fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Y'all, the disconnect, I mean, it was obviously there at Walmart, but it's in the church. And it's why people, you know, they have this disconnect between who God is and who we say we are. This disconnect between what they hear about God and what they see in us. And so this morning, my invitation to you is to let this missionary God so seek you, so love you, so give to you, that you can't help but seek and love and give to others. So this morning, I hope you got one of these. I'm not entirely confident that you got one. Anybody? Thank you for the one card. I see the 2, 3, 4. Okay, all right. This is your invitation this morning. And there's a ton more cards back there. And you can drop it in a plate later. But this morning is to say yes to being a missionary people. It's real simple. You can start meeting with one other person. And you're just going to meet with them and you're just going to help them grow in their relationship with Jesus. Or maybe start a band. Not a band with guitars and, keyboards. Not that kind of band. But a John Wesley band. A band of three or four people of the same sex who simply meet together to encourage each other and hold each other accountable in Jesus. Or start a grace supper. This is what college night is for us. College night is a grace supper. We eat together, we share together, we learn together, and we pray together. And it's that simple. And so maybe you want to do that once a month. Maybe you want to do it twice a month. Maybe you want to do it every week. But this is all about us just saying, come on to our house. The folks you work with, your neighbors, your friends, come on over and just let's just be with Jesus together. Or maybe it's to help start our Good News Club. Our Good News Club is, by the way, starting in October. It's going to be on Thursdays over at Mage, and it's from 3:30 to 5. And if you want to share Jesus with kids, which let me tell you, your missionary God wants to share Jesus with kids, then that's what that is. And then if you'd like to help start Alpha, Alpha is a global movement. It's a basic introduction to the Christian faith. And it helps people. Somebody could be atheistic or agnostic, or maybe they're just a Christian that's never understood it all and it's never had the foundation, a theological foundation to grow in their faith. That's what Alpha is all about. So if I just did this with y'all and you don't have one, this is my bad. And so I'll just invite you to not just hear a sermon this morning. I will invite you to say yes to Jesus in some way. This card could have 1,000 ideas. It's just 5. But whatever the ideas that God has placed in your mind and your heart, be obedient, okay? Lord Jesus, this morning, we know how much you love us. God, we have seen you time and again seek us and pursue us. Lord, we understand how much you want to give your joy and your life and your spirit to us. But Lord, help us not just to be those who know about a missionary God. Help us to be and live as your missionary people. In your name, Jesus, amen. So y'all, the altar's open this morning. I invite you not just to hear a word, but to truly receive a word from the Lord for you this morning. Let's stand together as we sing. Altar's open. Please get a blue card, fill it out, leave it in the back, bring it to the altar. Let's stand together. We started this morning with the baptism, which is all about reaching people with the love and the grace of Jesus. But we're about reaching, growing, and sending. Avery, come up here. Avery is on her way to go be the youth pastor at Big Spring Methodist Church. And so this is her last Sunday with us, because next week it all starts, oh my goodness. And then Luke Blackman, Delinda's grandson, is also, he's already started in Artesia, right? Artesia. And so I want to pray for Avery. And it's just, you're a symbol of what we're all called to do. We may not all do it full time in a church, but we're all called to go. And I know it's not easy to go. And so it's never easy to go, but it's how the Lord works. Lord Jesus, I thank you and I praise you for Avery. She is your beautiful, precious daughter, God. And she has received your love into her life, and she's ready to go share your love with this world. God, I pray that you will use her and bless her in Big Spring, and that she will be a blessing to every single kid, not just in that church, but in that community. And Lord, we pray for Luke over in Artesia. Lord, you've set him apart. You've called him to this ministry. Now use him there, Lord. But God, all of us, when we leave this place, we're all going out into the mission field that you're sending us all into. So Lord, we can't do it alone. And it is scary to go. It's never easy to go out from our comfort zone. But Lord, we go because you called us to go. And we will love, let your love be real in us and through us for this world in which we live. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.